There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's drive live, and it is 4:23.
Drive Live talks careers.
We're going to come back to talk about why music gives you goosebumps and why your brain is special if it does. That's a bit later. We're going to do career discussion now. We have two guests with us here in the studio. This afternoon, though, we're talking about longevity, NLT. Your career. Okay.
We are.
And I wanted to ask this of you, first of all. You worked at a company, it was the BBC, for 13 years, okay?
I did.
And I'm guessing you, had you not moved here and got married, you probably would have stayed there.
Yes, I am very much, resistant to change, is what I'd say. I knew where I stood, I knew what I was doing, I knew my career progression path, I knew what I could do and what my options were, so I found it quite a comfortable place to be in.
Okay, Stuart and David, it is a great pleasure to welcome you two gentlemen back. Stuart, our legal expert, David, our careers expert today. Let me ask you, you started your own company, David, didn't you? But
yep.
You have experience of the corporate world.
Yeah.
How long? Let's just start there.
I was with Michael Page for 7 years and Monster and TMP for about 7 years. So I've only had 3 jobs.
Okay.
So three companies.
Right. Stuart, what about yourself?
A few more than that. I started off in publishing and then after 5 years decided to switch to law. So I bounced around a little bit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, magazine
publishing.
He's got
that green book there. See? Yeah. That tells
books,
him everything.
Books, it's all words.
Books, well, it is really. I had no idea.
STEM
of publishing?
We did all the Asian in-flight magazines.
Wow.
So I used to write for Discovery magazine and other in-flight magazines.
Do you still dabble a little bit in the writing stage at all?
A lot of what we do in terms of legal advice is writing. It's a written word product. So, but no, I don't write about the floating flower gardens of Bangkok as much as I used to.
Tell you what, I'd like to hear more about that.
Floating flower gardens of Bangkok, not what springs to mind normally. Bangkok.
Yeah, let's examine that for a while, shall we? I just thought you were an eloquent lawyer. I didn't realize.
He's a cunning writer.
I've been a writer as well. Well, you see, that's interesting, isn't it? So you've changed careers. So you have kind of hopped a little bit, but you've obviously settled on. How long have you been?
I've been with my current firm, Afridi & Angel, for 13, 14 years since I arrived in the UAE. So just one job for me here in Dubai.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? So we're looking at longevity this afternoon, keeping it interesting, continuing to work for the same firm, or do we hop jobs? It's a difficult one, this. There is an over-reliance on this phrase that millennials tend to job hop. I think it's maybe more acceptable, David, than it was, isn't it, to change jobs?
I think the job-for-life culture's gone. Mm. I don't think companies invest in their people enough to keep them forever now. And there's a great quote that somebody said about don't confuse longevity with success. So, if you're in a job for 12, 13 years like myself and Stuart, don't assume we're successful.
You look successful.
We've both got Zara shirts on, that's why.
M&S over here, I'm afraid.
I was talking to a senior colleague and they sort of said, well, yeah, it doesn't necessarily indicate that you've been successful being here for 13 years in the BBC or whatever. That doesn't mean you've been successful. You've just done the same things 13 times for a year. You've done the same thing. So that's a different way of looking at it. Is it to say you've just stayed there and stagnated and you haven't challenged yourself because it's easier, comfortable? Or is the person next to you who's been to 13 different places and done lots of things the better option because they've got a wider breadth of experience?
I think the problem with the Middle East, we don't have career longevity here. People move every 18 months to 2 years now. It's sort of that culture. I think if you look at somebody who's worked for 10 years in a company, it depends what they've done. They might have had 6 different jobs. I mean, I was at Monster for 5, 6 years and I had 3 jobs. So I moved into different roles. But then I think you've got people now that aren't interested in staying with a company because they want to be there for 10 years. They want to stay in a company because it's interesting, it's fun, it's enhancing them, it's growing. This is why millennials have got this tag that they just job hop. I don't think they job hop. I think they look for experience and they look for enhancing themselves rather than staying with one company.
Do you know what I think is more interesting about this? And I question this all the time. I'm trying to work out why there is this kind of perception that millennials or people up to the age of, what, mid-30s now, I suppose it is? Is that kind of the description? I mean, from, you know, when you're starting work, 20, 21, whatever it is, till about that 35 or so. Let's just call it that bracket. When did it change and why it changed? That's what I'm interested in, because I'm of the generation before that, I suppose, Generation X versus Generation Y, where we think, well, I've got a job, I'm going to do this for a while and try and do well in it, and that's fine. I don't necessarily think, done my 2 years here, got to do that, got to move on. I don't have that outlook. When did it change and why did it change? Any thoughts on that, Stuart?
Well, I think some of it could be sort of structural changes in the makeup of the economy, where you've got many more M&A deals and businesses selling off divisions or acquiring new businesses, and that results in, you know, restructuring of workforces. People might be losing their job more often, have to job hop. Yeah.
Also, when I in my old employment, the people that were the bosses, when they started in journalism, you didn't need a journalism qualification. So you sort of started maybe at a local paper, then you worked your way up, and then got a job in radio, then you got a job in television. And then, you know, as I sort of my career progressed there, people that were coming in needed to have a degree, a postgraduate qualification before they could even start. So there was a perception that the opportunities for people in their 20s to 30s were next to nothing, whereas most people that started, maybe some people started off making cups of tea and then they were able to work their way up, but the opportunity to do that in almost every industry has disappeared completely now.
It has. So the paying your dues kind of aspects of jobs are very different, aren't they?
I'm not sure people are so worried about security as much anywhere. So if you think about maybe 20 years ago, people had kids younger. So you had to be established in your career and you wanted to stay because you had a family to look after. But if you look at people now, career first, kids later, maybe. Mm. And I think that's, if I look at my sister, she had a first kid at 40 and she was MD of Time Warner. Was, just left, obviously. But she didn't, that was later on in life. And I think she was trying to build her career as a female in this market or in the UK. And that was the driver for her. So I think people go to companies now and they want to be wowed by the company a bit as well, rather than just doing a job forever.
We're going to be talking more about longevity in your career. If you have a question of a legal nature to do with your job, where you're going, your career, if it's legal, text it in to Stuart, 4001, or via the free app, 423 1010. You can call on that number if you want to, or you can get in touch with David from Mackenzie Jones. David Mackenzie is here, and he can answer questions to do with careers and paths, etc.
Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
Afternoon, Drive Live talks through 5 o'clock.
Drive Live talks careers.
It is careers this afternoon. Two guests with us. Stuart Walker from Afridi & Angel is our legal expert. We're going to come to you in a second, Stuart, with a couple of questions. Nice of you to stay around. And David Mackenzie is here from Mackenzie Jones. He is our careers expert. See how I pitch you both? You're both kind of there and right at the top. Yeah, I like to have the power firmly under my control, under my grasp. So let's start with a question, actually, if we can. It was for you, Stuart. Do employers have to pay gratuity if you are in a commission-based role? There's a question.
Short answer is yes. The labour law says you get your gratuity on your basic salary, not on your allowances. But if you have a contractual commission payment structure to your role, those sort of earnings which are tied to your sales or whatever, that would be folded into your basic salary for gratuity calculations.
Okay, so there's the answer for you. The thing that I suppose we should point out is read contracts very carefully.
Yep.
Which we say every week. Here's another question that came in. When's the correct time to leave a job and become a company owner? David, I'm going to go to you for this because your answer is probably not what this person wants to hear.
Never. glib answer that, but it's actually probably a bit right. I mean, if you are prepared to work very long hours for no pay, with the idea that something at the end of it might be worthwhile doing, then do it. That's the negative view. But do it if you really have a good idea and you really want to follow your passion. I mean, I'm a recruiter. I work for a recruitment company. I set up a recruitment company. I thought I could do it better. Sorry, I do it better. you just have to be very prepared for the bad bits, which are no pay, people not paying you, long hours, frustration. But the flip side, you can work with some really good people. You can set up a business that you created from scratch, and you can employ people that make it better than you ever dreamed about.
Okay, we have another text in from Catherine. This one says, more of an observation really. Both my parents and in-laws are retired now after at least 40 years in the same company. Nowadays, we have more opportunities and options to choose from. Everything is going so fast. I think we can all relate to the fact that everything changes and moves very quickly. Essence texted in and said, hi, I work as a translator, but apparently my job is now being overtaken by machine. I have outstanding skills and experience, yet I find it difficult to compete against the cheap, affordable, quality, careless machine translators. Do I have to think about changing my career path now? David?
Wow. That's a really interesting one, actually, because I think a lot of people, we talked about this a year or two ago, about machines are going to replace humans. It will never actually happen. What will happen is the lower level automated jobs will be replaced, which it sounds like this lady, she's obviously a very experienced person, and I think machines can take over a basic job, but it's the subtle nuances of conversation where she will really add value. So I think someone like her has to take herself up to, you know, I don't know about the translation level, but something like the UN, where if you get the intonation wrong or you get the translation wrong, it could be disastrous. Two countries could start having a war or something. But I think machines, you know, when I put Google Translate in, sometimes you put it in, it comes out with a bizarre expression.
Yes.
So I think her industry may suffer from that, unless the automated translation machines are super good, which I suspect there are some issues with them.
And sure, just from a legal perspective, if you are thinking about changing career, can there be detrimental things you need to look out for because you maybe don't read the contracts or you're not aware of your leave, you know, how many months notice you need to give? I know we're talking about longevity, but if you want to move around jobs, what should we be looking out for?
I think you'd be wise to look at different work practices in different industry sectors. I think just because, you know, someone's been a lawyer in England for 10 years and they come to be a lawyer here in Dubai, there will be differences. They can't just assume everything is going to be the same here as it was there. Or if you're changing from one role in Dubai to something else, it's worth talking to people in that industry.
But that's an attitude, isn't it, that applies no matter what you do or where you work or how often you change. If you stay in a company for 40 years, if your attitude is, I'm hungry, I want to learn, I want to get on, it's the same as if you change every year and go after this kind of millennial mindset that we accuse so many people of. It comes down to individuals, doesn't it?
I think it's interesting when you meet, I interview a lot of people, and I've been interviewing for a CEO role recently, and some of the bog standard CEOs they're very good, they're structured their business, they've grown them. I met a guy the other day, just inspired me a bit, because he sat down and said, I've done a CEO, I've done this top 100 FTSE business. And I said, what's your proudest achievement? He goes, I see this little company my son started up selling playing cards. I turned that into a £1 million business. I said, how do you do it? And he goes, I just got back to basics. And I kind of liked that about him. He was, you know, he was paid a lot of money, but he just had that little entrepreneurial spirit still inside him somewhere, and he wasn't completely corporatized, if that's such a word. Stuart, is that a word?
It is now.
Thank you. On Google now.
Do you know what? But that is really inspiring because it is in so many cases it is about just taking a step back and thinking, what do I want to achieve here, and how should this work?
This is a really good point. So I make a point. This is my personal. So every year I reinvent myself. So I have to reinvent what I do for my people in my company because I have to prove I'm worth them paying for my salary. If I can't justify my salary each year, I shouldn't be the MD of the company.
So this is not like, you know, the way Madonna reinvents herself in cycles, or is it?
I'm thinking this year David's going to be bossy boss. Next year he's
angry
going to be
boss.
Empathy boss.
Next year Vogue.
I mean, could be loving boss one year. There's a great quote. Do you remember the Gary Player? He had a quote that said, "The harder you work, the luckier you are." And I actually think people sometimes, when they're in a business too long, forget to work hard.
Okay, so it's worth always applying yourself. So that's a trick to longevity then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just keep working. Don't give up. Be dogged.
Yeah. And enjoy yourself.
We've had another text in. You mentioned your sister was very, very successful.
Yeah.
And this text says, David, why obviously does your sister not head Warner Brothers post children? She can do both.
Yes, she could, and she did for 5 years, and she was very successful at that, and she was super mum. My sister's awesome, by the way. I'm very prejudiced about her, but she took redundancy, and she's now...
I think proud about her, is rather than prejudiced about her.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry, proud, forgive me. My English is terrible today. I've been in Dubai too long. But I think she's now working for a very small publishing firm of 25 people in the Southwest doing consultancy work, because she wanted to get back to a small business where she had control and she got her passion back.
I mean, this person's picking up on the fact that you said she's left now, obviously. I mean, and I get that. But her decision was her decision, wasn't it? She'd done her time
yeah.
at the head in a very busy position.
12 years.
And decided, I want to go and spend some time with my child.
She basically made herself redundant. She wrote herself out of the job because, and she's quite good in this respect. She said, the business doesn't need my skill set anymore. I've been here 12 years in this role. There are people that are paid less that could do a better job than me. And okay. I think that was a very brave call. She's not very old either. She's 43, 44, 45.
Around that.
Yeah.
She's somewhere around there.
She's quite young.
What do you like with the birthday cards on an annual basis?
You know what? There's a lady, if Jill Sparrow's listening, she'll laugh at this. I didn't know how old I was, so I went on a riding tour to South Africa.
Meet NLT's dad. Anyway, we'll come back to that.
We celebrated my birthday, and they went, oh, it's this day. And I went, no, I'm this old. And she went, no, you're the same age as me. You're a year younger. I gained a year. How good's that?
That is not a bad position. I added a year yesterday. I couldn't remember how old I was, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm older than
you
I think
added
I am.
A year? Why?
Because I thought I was younger than I was, and my husband went, no, you've had a birthday since then. Like, oh, of course.
I'm amazed you don't remember, because the rest of us are very aware of your birthday and the celebrations that must ensue thereafter.
Oh, well, you're a big birthday fan.
Yes,
celebrate.
Birthday.
Oh, are you?
I was made to wear a badge saying birthday diva on the day.
Yeah. Nice.
Which
nice.
Was, no, it was a badge that was bought, and she was proud to wear it rather than made to wear
kind
it.
Kind of like that.
That's kind of how it works. Longevity, we're talking careers this afternoon. Two guests, Stuart Walker and David McKenzie. Questions in 4001. Or via the free app, or call if you like 423 1010.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
Or you can use the free app, or you can call on 423 1010.
Drive Live talks careers.
Our guests today are David McKenzie, MD of McKenzie Jones Middle East. Stuart Walker is a partner at Freedy and Angel. We've got quite a few questions for you both. If I can kick off with this one, Ahmed says, hi, I've just started a new business this month. Any advice? Is the advice to go slow, the go slow approach, or the go big or go home approach? David, I'm presuming that's in your direction.
Yeah, good luck, Ahmed. I'd love to know what you're starting. And certainly in this economy, that's a brave move. But good on you. I think this is a good time to be doing it. My view would be go slow. Do not go big and large. Go carefully. Plan it properly. Do it methodically. You know, the tortoise and the hare analogy, I think that's the best way to look at it.
It's interesting, but Ahmed, if you could let us know what you're doing, if you can let us know what you're doing, yeah. I'd be interested to get a little bit more detail on that. Another question for you, we were talking about hard work, or we referred to hard work before the break. Omar texts in, how do you define working hard? Long hours or going the extra mile? And isn't working hard subjective? How do you define working hard? Because I was thinking, if you're in an office environment and you are part of a social group, if you like, and you spend a lot of time chatting to people, I tend to veer to the disruptive, I think, probably.
Really?
If I'm honest. But I get my work done. But, you know, maybe I work at a different speed, whatever. But, I believe that in an office, a little bit of sociability is probably a good thing. But it doesn't mean you're not working. It's you have to be able to judge people. So how do you judge whether somebody is working hard as well? Stuart?
Well, there's that old saying, you find something you enjoy doing and you'll never have to work a day in your life ever again. Mm. I think hard work is when you're tasked to do something that you derive little satisfaction or pleasure from.
Really?
Mm. Really?
Yeah. I didn't expect that, actually. No. So hard work, but that's not working hard, that's hard work. If you find something to be hard work, isn't it? That's a different definition,
I
suppose. You
are so wise.
That's, I didn't expect you to go there. So what's working hard then?
I'm not going to say anything now, I can't trump that. That was like Yoda, wasn't he?
We set it up so well. I know.
I think it is a bit subjective. I don't think working long hours is necessarily effective working. I think working hard is an attitudinal thing. You can work hard because you could work hard for 10 minutes and then, you know, chat for a minute. Or it's very much, I mean, my business is a bit like that, because obviously my guys are, they have to work certain core hours, but it's quite stressful. So they, you know, have a chill out. They'll go and maybe play PlayStation for 10 minutes or whatever. But my guys, some of them work all hours, you know, 12 hours a day. Some work an hour, take a bit of time off for have a coffee, an hour. So, and you have to look at each individual. But I think working hard, just ploughing the hours through, you've got to work smart. Mm. And as Yoda just said, the hard thing is
that's it's something that really does. I'm quite for smart working and quality of work. The quality of your work is what's more important than how long it takes you to do it. If it's great,
true,
and you can get the job done in 8 hours, and maybe if you have to stay back 2 hours every single night, you're not doing the job properly.
Yeah, but also you're measured on. We measure our people on KPIs, key performance indicators. So you can see what somebody's doing. So somebody might, if they're working smart, they may have more interviews than somebody who's working really long hours and getting less interviews. So you have to, as a manager, you have to adapt your management style to the individuals.
Ahmed's texted back in. So he's taken the opportunity and he's run with it for the promotional aspect. He's importing Rhino Shield crash guards for smartphones, selling them online via Souq.com. They're an amazing product. You never have a broken screen again, blah, 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 the whole thing. But actually, I mean, that strikes me as being a good thing to do in a time like this.
Can we get some freebies then?
Well, so it's a couple of samples, Ahmed. But I mean, you said something interesting just now. At a time like this, the economy is perhaps in a more difficult situation than a few years ago. Mm. So to start something now is brave, but you said something else. It's a decent time to do it, because if you can start something now in the good times, you can take advantage of that, I suppose.
You look a lot of the successful companies, they started in either depressions or in difficult economic times, and the reason being is the owners or the directors of the businesses have left big corporates or been made redundant or fired, and they've tried to go with their dream, and they started it small, as in, you know, my comment to Ahmed, start small and grow. Mm. And they've battled through the tough times and they've come into the good times.
Ahmed, are you going to go for the go slow approach? Let us know. Or are you going to go big and whatever else?
Rhino everywhere.
Yeah, quite right.
Rhino cars.
How do we cope with millennials whose expectations are to job hop rather than stay in a role? If you are into career longevity, you want to stay at a company, you want to work a little bit past retirement is another thing. Those are the topics we're going to finish on today. I'm going to come to you, Stuart, on this. When it comes to career longevity, getting the most out of your career and working perhaps into retirement a little bit more, because we are, after all, retiring later and later. What would be your top tip? What are your thoughts on how to approach that?
Well, find, as we said before, yeah, find something you enjoy doing. You're not going to be able to have a very long career or summon the enthusiasm to keep working until you're elder years if it's really something that you don't enjoy getting up for in the morning.
So it is very much about doing what, if you're fortunate to be in that position, David, do what you're good at, what you have a passion for.
Yeah, but I think if you're lucky enough to do that, and I think I am, and I think probably Stuart is to a degree, but I think if you're in a role that you don't 100% enjoy, look at the bit you enjoy and just do that to the best of your ability, because you have to go in every day to do that job. If you hate your job, you don't want to do it anymore, then you need to look for a new one. It's as simple as that, even in a market like this.
David McKenzie is the MD of McKenzie and Jones Middle East. Thank you very much for
pleasure.
Joining us.
Thank you.
Stuart Walker, partner of Afridi and Angel Legal Consultants. Thank you very much for joining us. Just final word on this segment is from Barat Texin, and says, there is an opportunity in every adversity.
I like that.
Wow, there's another Yoda out there.
Yeah, I like that.
Very good. Sages have come out of their wormholes. Yeah, anyway. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.